Deutsch is the Yeshiva of Or Torah, which is the Yeshiva Katana on Rival in Bays. It was set over to the boys at some 30 odd years ago. It was a story just to show you Kerech HaTorah. Kerech HaTorah, without any biases, someone was going to Chutz Laretz and he had a car and his friend wanted to borrow his car. He said, for a month, I'm not going to be here. You can borrow the car for a month. Put in the gears, you take care of it. You're going to be my shoyel, you borrow the car. So, a week into the trip, the guy was using the car and he got a flat tire. So, he took it to the Mesach shop and he fixed the flat. And every night, he was very meticulous, you know, like we have here. People have like covered parking and they have their own parking spots. Every house is different. Some of them have a chaniya, you know, outside. So in this particular guy, the owner, he had a chaniya with, you know, there were eight tenants in the building, or 10 tenants, and there were, you know, 10 or 15 parking spots. Every tenant allotted a parking spot. And he made sure to park his car in the owner's parking spot. Religiously. So this way he was a chassid, first of all. People would think that he's home. So his house was like safe. Neighbors, everybody thought he was around. They see his car coming, going. So whatever. And also, if this is where the owner parks it, but even though he lived down the block, but he made sure to park it in that spot with Afra. It was a windy storm, and a tree fell down, a limb of the tree, and smashed the car one night. He shows up in the morning to take the car, he sees the Hulk had smashed it. Big heavy limb of a tree, so smashed the whole car. Mamish knocked the whole thing. So, someone for the car, can't do anything about it. He waited the next week or two until the guy came back from Chutz Laretz, and he told him what went on, and what's doing, and what should he do. So the guy said, okay, so you gotta buy me a new car. So the guy says, no, wait a minute, I parked it in your spot, this is where you would park. I got a flat tire, so I fixed it. I understood that with my $100, I got to fix it, whatever it was. But I parked it exactly where you parked it every night for the last 3 years. And like, so they got into an argument, they started to go his kishayla. So they went to Rav Deutsch, asked him, and Rav Deutsch told him that, yeah, you take a machiv to buy him a new car. Because the shoyel is chayiv on oinish. So you gotta pay, of course. No, so they weren't makabel from him. Continue to argue. So that time, he lived in Telstone. Way back when Telstone first blossomed, like 30 years ago, whatever it was. It was a bris, and supposedly, this is what I always heard the story, Valyanshev, Ishafu Shalema, was a sandik, and he came out to be sandik. I don't know if it's true or not, because I heard from someone else that he never left Yerushalayim. Telstone, I don't know if it's in Yerushalayim. I think it's outside Yerushalayim. So, it could be for sandikoyes, for to be a sandik, he did leave. So I don't know. So that's why I'm telling you clearly, because of this, a disclaimer. I'm just saying it to you the way I heard it. And it's like, but anyways, so they went to Rav Yashiv by the bris, and they presented the shaila to him. So Rav Yashiv looked at it and says, why'd you pay for the flat tire? Meisa machna v'alacha shows potter on.
The reason that he's
putter? Neisa machmas malacha potter. An animal dies while you're using it in the regular way, shows potter. That's halacha. The fact that you mechir to pay for the whole car, that's pashut. Of course, it shows chayv and oinus. You can't be asking me that question. That's for sure. But why did you pay for that? You didn't know. It's often halacha that you didn't have to pay for a flat. And he should pay you for the flat. You didn't have to pay for it. Yeah, you had to pay for a new car. So I still think you're going to end up losing out on the deal. But that's where the Dinei Shail is. Now, says in Deutsch, the koyach of a gadol, like on the spot, just to see so clearly. It's amazing. That's koyach atoyach. Now I'm jumping the gun. I just thought of it. That's what I'm telling you to you. But the Gemara discusses it. This Gemara, we're going to get to the Gemara. I guess we'll get to it soon. Maybe Wednesday. But this is the koyach of gadol. It's amazing. So you'll tell me, it's 30 years ago. Yasha. Let me tell you a story. It's taking place February, what's today? 20th? 20th, 2012, in Ramat Beit Shemesh. A story that as we speak is taking place. Okay? There are two fellas, actually three fellas. There's a building. You end up knowing what building I'm talking about. It's nothing Lashon Hara. It's halacha. You might know the building, you might not. I don't know. So I'm just telling you the story. There's a building, many buildings, but this particular building has had outside the, what's the name of the room that you do the laundry in? How do you call that in Hebrew? What? Yeah, that room, okay? Shevut, Risa, whatever, that room. There's like a little place that you could, outside the window or something, there's a thing where you hang your laundry, and there's like a grating, so it's hollow to the sky. You know? But I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, but there are a bunch of buildings that have such a setup where people hang their laundry. And you tie a rope here and a rope there, you open the slide, open the window, you hang your laundry out, and it dries. This particular building has a first floor, second floor, and third floor. And the building got an issur from the Iriyah to make an extension. And the extension was allowed to be a certain amount of square meters, and only from this part of the building to this part, to this part, to this part, exactly bidyuk the way it had to be. And they built up the cement stilts. You know, you have to, because the first floor is one flight up. It's not on the ground level like in New York or Colorado. You know, everything. So they built up the foundations. They had to build up, dig in, four foundations, big monsters with the metal in between. Then they lay a floor, and they were gonna make enclose another room, add a room.
A whole room
to the whole floor, to all three floors. They got an issue for that. The first floor guy, which is the bottom level, he needed the space. The third floor guy needs the space. The second floor guy, he doesn't have the money, he doesn't need the space. If he needed the space, he doesn't have the money, he doesn't want it. He's very, very happy the way he is. So the cost is 30,000 or 25,000 shekels for the beams, whatever it is. And then each tenant, the third floor, is paying for its own floor and walls and roof. The first floor is paying for his floor, walls, and roof. And, you know, obviously the windows that you have to put in or whatever. And they're sharing the cost of the yesodot, of the foundations, which is really a lot of money. They have to dig in, and they have to get Mandis down, the architect, to measure where, how, what, and how to do it, that it should be strong enough to hold it up. And it has to be thick enough, and you have to check the cement, and the whole thing. You can ask the Kabbalah, they can tell you all about it. I just heard the story, so the information I'm giving you is what I was told from the different sides, but not because I know how to build. I don't. He'll tell you. I don't know.
So far, so good.
Okay?
Right.
Now, the first and third floor guy take the second guy to Beis Din. They're in Beis Din this week. That it costs 30,000 shekels to put down these yisodot. You should also chip in for the yisodot because you're gaining, because now you have this thing, you have a floor, you have a roof. All you have to do is put walls and you have yourself a room. So if you're going to use it, you have to pay for the yisodot. If you don't use it, okay, then you don't pay. It's on us.
Why? It's still property value that gains.
What?
It's
he doesn't want it. He doesn't want
it. But it's the
common. What? He doesn't have the money.
Okay.
Can't force him to spend it. He doesn't have the money. But, he decided that he's going to go and set up a matzah on the roof of the guy underneath him to hang his laundry and to do what he wants. And they, Taina, if you're doing that, then you have to pay a chelik, one third of the yisodot, the foundations, because you're using it, you're being nanner from it.
But that's what he had before also.
Oh, he ties what he means. But now, I don't have the sunlight. I used to be able to hang out my clothes and it was open. And now you put a floor, so I lost down. So the first floor guy says, yeah, but I didn't take away your sunlight. I'm below you. So my chelik should be split between me and you. And the third guy, you talk, have a good time. He has to pay his chelik. So he's paying a third. He's paying a half. And my head is split a quarter me, a quarter you. Because if you want to use it, if you don't want to use it, no problem. Now, these three fellows show up in your court, in your bed. It happened this week, Sunday. And there's a lot of money at stake. A lot at stake. And you, Rabbi, have to paskin. Where do you start? Go find this case. And you can't make this example up, but it's a mice to show you. In where my pachemish is happening this week.
Did he sign on to the issuer before the whole thing? Before the issuer was issued, did he sign on his reshus?
He gave them reshus to Joker to get one, but it was clear that it wasn't for him. He didn't plan on extending.
Okay.
But he had to sign because in order for the Uriah to be masking, everybody in the building had to be masking. You understand why, probably. Because whenever you add on a little bit something, you're hurting something else. You know, the way they build over here, who knows? That whole building's on an angle.
So he already agreed in advance.
Is it green?
That at least in potential, they're going to do their thing. You know, the first floor, the third group floor, they're going to do their thing. He's not doing anything. And he's not contributing.
Oh.
Was that part of the agreement at the get-go?
By being maskim to the Ishur, he understood that the first and third floor guy could potentially do this and this and this. And that's the Metzius. He understood that.
So they never discussed the $30,000 in advance? Like, who was paying the $30,000?
It was understood that since he's not doing anything over there, he should have to use it. He should have to pay. But when he decided he wants to use it for his laundry, that's when the first and the third floor guy decided to moon him.
Ah, okay, that changes things. So they all agreed. And there was never agreement that he would no longer make use of the space that he had prior access to.
It's unclear, because is that understood by giving any sure that was what's going to happen?
Mm-hmm.
Or was he allowed to say, I didn't do it upon me that was going to cause me hazard?
So what's the verdict?
What?
What's the verdict?
Still in court now. It's in the Rabbanim in the town, are in the middle of kicking it around. You know, to figure out an answer. You know? Who's right, who's wrong, which Gemara is right to this one, which Gemara is right to that one. You know, each guy has a stake in it, and a many thousands of shekel stake. Most of us, regular one of people, just don't have 5 or 8 or 10,000 shekel just to not have tomorrow. So, that's what the Gedolim do. They hear things, they have to work, and it's an amazing thing that not 30 years ago, today, is going through, and this comes from the Kerech of Torah, from the Limud HaTorah, from Siyata Deshmaya that they learn, and it's rough, because there's so many of these kinds of things that come up, and we're just not exposed to it. They don't show up at our door, but these shaylas are so many. It's a pity that should be mechazik our respect for our gedolim, because the maisha, that's how it is. We need them. So let's see the Gemara now. We're going to talk about a couple of gedolim over here. Do a little bit of the Gemara. Gemara says we just finished talking about how a malach went and killed out the Chayiv's army. So Gemara says let's talk about another malach. They killed a different army at a different stage, a different point in the in the world. What was it? By Avraham Avinu. Said by Yecholek Aleim Laila. We're holding right over here, like 15, 20 lines down. Sadekom and Aleph. Okay, you got it? Somewhere over there, somewhere by Yecholek Aleim Laila. Got it? Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 11 lines up from before it gets wide. 11 lines. We have some. And Yecholek Aleim
Laila. Never mind.
Okay. Good. So it says that Avraham Avinu went out to fight against the Dalai Malachim, those kings. So, Vayecholik Aleim Laila. What does it mean, Vayecholik Aleim Laila? Vayecholik Aleim means that they gear it up. They, what's the word? When you go out to battle, you,
divided.
Yeah, but they strategize to go out to war. To divide them camps, they figure out how they're going to go out. And said, Laila. Now, if it's true that they were doing this at night, it would have said, Vayecholik Aleim Balayla. Since it says Laila, the word Laila comes to tell us a chiddush that Vayecholik Aleim Laila, who v'avodah v'yakim, him and his servants, and they smote, they killed. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Oisei Malach, Shenez Damonoi Lavram, the Malach that helped Avram in battle, Laila Shmoi. The name was Laila. The name of the Malach was Laila. That was the Malach's name. Shenema Vahalaila Omar Hayregeva. This is an Eov. Now, we all know Eov had a very troubling life. He had a life full of Yisurim. Full of Yisurim. Now, we also know Eov was one of the Yoyetzim by Paroi, and he got punished, and he lived the life of a tsar. At one point in his life, he cursed having ever been born, and the night that he was conceived, because of the suffering that he was going through. However, that's the translation of the pasuk. The literal, when you read the words in Eov, the words are Vahalaila Omar. Laila said, Hoyregever, that man was conceived. Meaning that it's talking about the Malach Laila. So we see again that when we're referring to a being, a Malach, it's referring to someone called Laila.
Wouldn't that be Laila Omar as opposed to Ha Laila Omar?
What?
Wouldn't that be Laila Omar as opposed to Ha Laila Omar? What's
the idea? It's the Veha Laila Omar. It's the subject and the verb. It's the Veha is, and who are we talking about? We're talking about the person Laila, or the Malach Laila said. Okay? And the Malach, Veha Laila, and the Malach Laila.
So if we're telling a story about me, it would be Veha Noach Omar?
What?
If it was telling a story about me, it would have said Vehanoach Laila.
You're right.
Sorry, Vehanoach Amar.
You're saying a good point, but you have to go through the context of the psukim, and let's put that on side, and let's research it. We'll do research, but we do see one thing though, that the literal text is that, and there was a being called Laila that said that man was conceived. Talking about Eos. So we see this concept of Laila. Now Mashiach speaks out very interestingly, that we know Nimrod was one of the kings that Avram was fighting against. And Nimrod was a Gibor Ish Tzayid, he was Gibor Tzayid. Now who's the one who made him such a Gibor? So it's brought down that when a baby is conceived, the Malach that's Mamuna al Heroyin, the Malach that's appointed on conception, goes and brings the Zera in front of Hashem and says, is it going to be Gibor or Chalosh? Tipish Shaita Chacham or Rasha? Wants to know what's Mativa, what's the nature of this future child. The Malach, Mamuna al Heroyin, is his name, the name of the Malach was Laila. Or Laila Shmoy. Now the problem was, is how was Avraham Avinu supposed to go to war and win if the Malach already made him the Gibor Tzayid, so it was already predestined that Nimrod was going to be able to overcome anybody who fought against him? So therefore it was necessary for Hashem to take Lila, who imbued the Koiches, so to speak, into Nimrod by bringing it in front of Hashem, and make him on Avram's side to combat that which was given to Nimrod at the time of the conception of Nimrod. That's what the Marashah points out, something along those lines. But we see something very interesting over here, that Rabbi Yochanan is telling us that Vayechalek Aleim Laila is talking about that Hashem sent a Malach whose name was Laila to fight with Avram against the Malach. That's one shot. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yitzchak Navcha Amar, Rabbi Yitzchak the blacksmith says, Sha'asa imay Maisa Laila. He did what Avraham Avinu, Maisa of night. What does that mean? The actual stars fought the war. Shenemar, as it says, Mishamayim nilchamu akechavim, Mimisiloisam nilchamu imsisim. The stars are the actual ones that went to war. And it says Rav Yitzchak Navcha that Laila meant Maisa Laila, the things that are around at night. Those are the things that came to battle and came to war. Those are the things. Now, Amar Reish Lakish, Tava de Navcha, mit Devar Navcha. It's better what Navcha said, the blacksmith, than Bar Navcha, the son of Navcha. Now, we all know, says Rashi, that Rabbi Yochanan was called Bar Navcha. So what the Gemara is trying to tell us is that the Pshat of Rabbi Yitzchak was better than the Pshat of Rabbi Yochanan because he was the Navcha, the other one was the Bar Navcha, son of the Navcha. Okay? Now, from Avinu was Zechetitz. We're going to see in the Gemara later what the connection is. But we see now, Amalek came and wiped out Sabchayr's army. You also see now Amalek came and helped Avraham Avinu wipe out the Dal Malach. Now, the Gemara continues. The next pasuk by Avraham Avinu, it says, Vayirdof Adon, they ran until dawn. Amar Rav Yochanan, Kivin Sheba, Oise Tzadik Adon, when Avraham Avinu came to the town of Don, Toshach Karcha, he got weak. Because he saw Bnei Bon of his grandchildren, Shasid and Labad Avoy Dezara. They were going to do Avoy Dezara. Bidon, in the town of Don. Shenemar, as it says, Vayosim Esar Echad Bebeisel, Esar Echad Nosan Bidon, that Yerobam wanted everybody to do Avoy Dezara, so he took one and he put it in Beisel, and one and did it in Don, so wherever people went, they would see Avoy Dezara. He was a descendant of Avraham Avinu. So when Avraham Avinu saw Beruach HaKadosh that was going to be, he weakened. It weakened his koyach from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to continue fighting. But Av Oisei Rasha and Nebuchadnezzar himself, when he came to fight against the Yidden, Loinis Gaber Achei Gilodon, he didn't really get the full koyach until he reached on. Shenemar, as it says, Mido Nishma Nacharas Susav. So we see from there that things that happened in the future, things that are going to happen, had a direct effect on Avraham Avinu's koyaches today, and had a direct effect on the ability of the enemies of Klal Yisrael as well. That's something that we can learn from to understand. Fine. I don't want to start the next one anyway, but the truth is, I want you to know that they're having right now, or middle, in New York, Kinas Osiris, with the Gedolei Lamar speaking, and I don't know the current events. I'm not a current events guy, but the matzev in the world, man, and the sakana is a great sakana. Great sakana, it seems. So each one of us plays an integral role. It's the truth. The more we learn, the more mitzvahs we do, so the more schusim we have. Hashem's not going to want something to come and distract our learning and distract our asiyas hamitzvahs, our davening. Avodah Zarah Hashem. So it's a good time. It's a good time. I see the Gedolim are doing it. So just to share with you, it's a good time to what's the word? Be worthy of the tefillahs that our brothers and sisters are doing on our behalf in Chutz Laaretz, even though we're safer than them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is watching over us much more than he watches over in America. It says, "Ein Hashem Elokecha Batam is going to reach us in our rachas Hashanah." Hashem watches over Eretz Yisrael.
What's the most important that they're saying it's happening over there and not over here?
No, we've had it here too. We have it here all the time.
Over Iran and Iraq.
What?
Over Iran and Iraq.
They just had. They just had. What? No, they just had a whole speech. Yeah, no, they had it over here also, a couple of speeches. But the truth of the matter is that we do it. But in Chavos Matas Mezasurim, we're Mishakana. Of course, we're crying out. They're not quote Mishakana, even though they're a big Shakana. They really are. We should be davening for them. I wonder if we are. But Lamaisa, I just wanted to say this. That's why I didn't want to start the next Gemara with 3 minutes left to 10 after 10. But Sam, we should know that we have a tremendous opportunity right now. It's a Shas HaKosher to be mechanzik before Shredi Adar to be zeicher, to be roi for the nisim that Hashem does for us. It's kedai to. We need Agadolim. We need Davin for them. We need Agadolim. I mean, we're really goners without them. So, Be'ez Hashem, you know. Alright. Be'ez Hashem. I didn't want to go to